Techonomics on KGO 810. Yahoo has had a busy week, so this week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with Yahoo's tech columnist David Pogue. Also this week, renting a place to live in San Francisco is still the most expensive place in the United States, but the rental market may be cooling, if only a little. Then online author and curator of content, Dave Pell, joins Jason Middleton for Pell's confession that he has a problem. He writes too much. Finally, Pokemon Go is not showing any signs of slowing. The mobile gaming phenomenon has children knocking on the doors of strangers. All that and just a little more is coming up next on this week's Techonomics.
Welcome to this week's Techonomics. I'm your host, Jason Middleton. Let's start with someone who takes the technical and makes it accessible. He's David Pogue, and it's quite likely you've seen, heard, or even read him before. Here's why. Pogue is a personal technology columnist for Yahoo Tech, a tech correspondent for CBS News Sunday Morning, a columnist for Scientific American, and a former tech columnist for The New York Times. He's also the host of Nova Science Now on PBS. We spoke earlier in the week with David Pogue about what it's like to work at Yahoo right now, battery technology, his new Nova show, and even what it is that makes him so good at what he does. David, could you give me your name and title, please, so I can get a level?
David Pogue, tech columnist for Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo, let's start there. It's been a kind of a week for Yahoo earnings coming in and of course, the closing of the bidding. What's it like to work there right now?
Well, a lot of people just looking at each other in the hallway and saying, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? But absolutely nobody knows. I don't think Marissa Meyer, our CEO, knows. Somebody's going to buy us, and it's going to be announced soon, I think. I think somebody said by the end of the month. So we should know very shortly who our new overlords are.
Yahoo's operating with its lowest headcount that it's ever had. And I'm just wondering about morale. You said you pass people in the hallway. It's just kind of a head scratcher, right?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's just, we're all holding our breaths. We just don't know how to react. Because it has a new owner doesn't mean anything's going to happen. For example, Verizon, for most pundits think is likely to be the buyer, you know, they also bought America Online and they also bought Huffington Post, and they've done this before, and everybody continues to operate as normal, just with deeper pockets. So that's likely to be the outcome, is that we will join the likes of Huffington Post and AOL.
All right, let's move off of that and let's talk about you a little bit, because you come up with some fascinating stories, lots of different angles, and your knowledge seems to be both wide and deep. And I'm wondering, how do you get your story sources, your story ideas?
You know, it's funny. It's become sort of self-fulfilling. In other words, people with interesting products know that I review them, and so I get pitched by email mostly just dozens of times a day. I mean, it's just a never-ending stream of pitches, and every now and then something really cool will pop up. A few weeks ago, somebody pitched me on what they are claiming is the best electric bike ever built, with double 90-mile range and, you know, twice the power of any existing bike. And I'd never looked at an electric bike. It sent me down this whole rabbit hole of e-bikes and how are they and how do they compare. And anyway, so my column today is this remarkable electric bike. So, yeah, most of it's people pitching me, but I also, you know, go to all the conferences and read all the websites and get all the magazines. So my radar is always running.
Any cool pitches recently on the Internet of Things? Because the earnings reports for that sector earlier this week came in a little flat, and I'm wondering if you're seeing enough activity in that space.
You know, from the consumer viewpoint, no. I don't think the consumer is yet sold on this idea of connecting everyday objects to their smartphones and to the Internet. I do have on my desk two Internet of Things water bottles that track how much you're drinking and send it to an app on the phone, or they sync up with your Fitbit app so it can be all in one place. So it's definitely gone to places that smack of desperation. But what's interesting is that I recently spoke at a conference that was all about the Internet of Things in business and industrial use, and it's a much bigger deal there. So imagine you're a building manager in charge of, you know, keeping a huge headquarters operating. Now, for the first time in your life, from your phone, you can check in on the lighting, the AC, the alarm systems, and they talk to each other. So if somebody goes into work late on a Friday night that you weren't expecting, all those things can come on and track the data and measure the expense and so on. And same thing with remote machines. Somebody was showing me an oil pumping station meant to be up in Alaska somewhere. Well, now from the comfort of your office in Dallas, you can monitor that machine and even make small changes to it. So the Internet of Things is really a much bigger thing, not in the consumer area.
I see. We're speaking with David Pogue. He's a tech analyst and tech expert and also Yahoo Tech columnist. Is it security that is holding back the Internet of Things from getting a little more dynamic?
I don't believe so. I think it's just why. I remember my mom, when we got our first TV with a remote control in the 70s, she was like, I don't understand. Why can't you walk 6 feet to the TV to change the channel? I think it's a little bit like that. It's like, really? You can't walk over and change the thermostat yourself? Actually, that's a bad example. Thermostats are one of the success stories of Internet of Things. But, I mean,
yeah, and
you know,
and Google paid for it, too.
Yeah, that's right. Paid big time, billions. But the ability to, you know, control your coffee maker and your doorbell and start your car remotely, I mean, those are interesting in certain use cases, but they just don't scratch an itch the public has always had.
All right, let's pivot one more time. I have an occasional feature I call This Week in Elon Musk. And so this week, I thought maybe I would ask you about Elon's week this week, because this master plan has some people scratching their heads as well.
So he's got SpaceX, he's got Tesla, and he's got Hyperloop. Which one are we talking about?
Let's start with Tesla, because I think he's trying to tie that in with the solar, with the batteries. And it seems like the battery technology is really where the tip of the spear is.
Yeah, they're building this immense battery factory out west. Is it Arizona, I think?
Nevada,
that's it. And it's going to be the second largest building in the world, second only to a Boeing plant.
Wow.
And they're going to make batteries. As it happens, I'm right in the middle of shooting a special for Nova, the PBS science show, about batteries and the future of battery technology. So it's particularly interesting to me. Originally, it was just going to be for, you know, for the cars, for Tesla. But as we now know, he also makes home batteries, batteries for the home, which is going to be an increasingly important area as the world goes to solar and wind, because solar and wind are intermittent power sources, and they're not, the sun isn't shining at night, for example, and the wind mostly blows at night. So we're all going to need a way to store that energy for use when the sun and the wind aren't going. And so the home battery is born. So he's going to start making all of that and the solar stuff at this one giant plant.
I spoke with a venture capitalist on this show a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about battery technology and smart guns. And he has a small investment in a company that's trying to figure that out, but that's what's holding back smart guns. It's the battery. So during your Nova research, have you finding anything there that looks hopeful?
All of a sudden, the battery industry, has realized that batteries are no longer something that we encounter only in our flashlights. That batteries are, if you step back and squint, they really are the future of everything. They're the future of the entire electrical grid. Utility companies are already installing these gargantuan industrial batteries to store solar and wind for, you know, for use later. People are experimenting with all kinds of crazy alternative batteries. We visited one company that makes spinning disc batteries. They store energy by spinning a 5,000-pound steel disc in the air, suspended magnetically in a vacuum, so that there's no friction. So it spins up from solar power or whatever when the sun's shining, and then when the sun goes down, we retrieve energy from it. And the California utility PG&E has just bought $20 million worth of these things as a pilot program to see if they'll store energy during the day for all their customers. So the answer to your question is every company and its brother are rushing into battery technology, trying to crack this code, trying to find the next great chemistry, trying to figure out how we're going to improve the battery and make it work on a giant scale.
Well, that's the future of the economy. I think you're right. Mr. Pogue, one of your great skills, this is my last question, is making the technical accessible. And I'm wondering if you could maybe self-reflect a little bit, give me a best practice. Like, what makes you this good? Like, what's something that you find it works for you that we might be able to share?
Well, you're very kind. But if I have one situational quirk that brought me that way, it's because I'm not of that world. I was never a computer kid growing up. I can't, you know, I've never taken apart a computer or put one back together. I was always an outside observer, just like the layman is. So I got my first computer, you know, when the Mac came out in college, and just have been just as baffled as everybody else by technology. So, you know, my job is to figure it out and be a translator between the creators and their end users.
Right on. David Pogue, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was David Pogue, who is working on a new Nova special and is the personal tech columnist for Yahoo Tech. Coming up after this short break, we have a content curation savant. That's his term. We talk with Dave Pell. I'm Jason Middleton. Please come back.